I'm just glad to be here when my long journey's done. Been a long time waiting for the day. Time to quit your grieving for your only loving son. Mama, I'm okay. Yes, and I could see my buddies, all my grunts were standing there. It was something special to see. Mostly getting heavy now, losing lots of hair, but they look beautiful to me. Standing at attention when they load me to rest, listen to the bugle and drum. Adios amigos from the one who loved you best. Fellas, peace has come. Yes, we came down the avenue together yesterday, all my old time buddies and I. And people lined the avenue to see us yesterday as we were passing. Across the bridge to Arlington, the sound of a muffled drum, a solemn and a stirring sight to see. People stood in silence to see the caisson come as it carried me. Mama, I'm okay. Fellas, peace.
That was Tom Paxton from his 80s album, Politics. Well, on the line with me, I have Donna Dice of the Tenants Rights Union of Santa Cruz. How you doing, Donna?
Okay.
And what's cooking with Trusk these days? I haven't heard from you in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, this month I've been helping a mother of four. And it's been interesting because the two of us have been able to scare the lawyer and the judge and get her in a better situation.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that you kind of single-handedly have been going to court, checking out all the unlawful detainers, the evictions, sending out cards and offering to help people. Have you gotten much support from the community for this? Are you getting volunteers?
Well, no.
No?
People say they want to, but, you know, follow through is something else.
You kind of
have to get your feet wet by just coming over and answering the phones. And
in this case, this
getting
is
getting to know the people and, you know, getting a feel for it.
What's your number for those who want to volunteer?
426-0644.
Now, I know you were also facing some 426-0644. You were facing some eviction threats yourself there, right?
Oh, yeah. I got a 30-day notice. When was it? The 1st of October. This is the third one, and I thought she was crazy. There's a property manager that lived in the building, and he thought she was crazy. But still, you know, you can't take that sort of thing lightly, even though you've been through it before and been able to fight them off, because, you know, they try to get way under your skin.
You successfully did that.
Yes, and, you know, they tried to blame my friend's dog, who used to come to visit. He wouldn't even come into my apartment. He would sit in the bushes.
And then, as soon as the vote was taken, they trundled off into a bus, two buses, and ran right down to the White House. And all rallied around this president, who 20 minutes earlier they had just referred to as a despicable character and traitor.
The big white dog isn't around anymore.
Shamer of the office of president. So what is that all about? I mean, either he is.
Wow,
well,
it's interesting.
Isn't.
We're getting
if you don't
getting KSCO on the telephone line.
Said he was,
oh, really?
We're talking about interference,
slapping him on the back, and everybody.
So,
standing
any interesting
in circle
cases
standing.
Coming up?
Well, there's always interesting cases. probably be better to check with me after Christmas, though, to see what's going on.
Stand on his tiptoes to get his
court right here the week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Again, if people want to help you, what's the phone number to be called?
426-0644.
And folks, this is for both people looking to assist you in fighting unfair evictions and also in getting information on that subject, right?
Right. And we need, you know, like right now we have a free internet service, but we haven't been able to get the modem to function in the computer, so if there's any computer-wise people out there, I think they can solve this problem. It would be appreciated.
Fair enough. Anything you want to add before we let you go back to the game?
You know,
Well, I hope that, you know, we can get an office space. We do have our spaghetti feeds on Friday night, so it's a good time to come and meet most of us. So,
The Bill of Rights, which I did.
Never give up the fight.
We won't. Thanks, Donna.
We have now, in
bye-bye.
This country, reached a point...
That was a woman who never does give up the fight, Donna Dice of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. As she said, they have free spaghetti feeds on Friday night for those who want to get involved. Phone number to call is 426-0644 at the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. Let's jump to Berkeley. And here, again, this is a somewhat older report, but it's a disturbing one, and it's disturbing for a number of reasons, because it seems the same strategy, which is that of felony drug busts for minor amounts of marijuana to get rid of kids on Telegraph Avenue and Shattuck, younger people, who they can't get rid of through the sitting ban and the lying ban, since there, at that time, was no sitting and lying ban. Now they've introduced a lying ban, I think a Tuesday or two ago up in Berkeley. This same process is now being used to depopulate Pacific Avenue around the hippie planter at Lincoln and Pacific. I talked to one person who got a $10,000 bail for less than a gram of marijuana for felony possession with intent to sell. And he had another friend who had slightly over a gram. We're not even talking an ounce. We're talking a gram. $10,000 bail, felony charges. You'll be held for weeks and weeks in jail, particularly if you're homeless, apparently, because they don't have a place to OR you to on these very serious felony charges. This is abuse of the worst sort, kind of a cruel, sadistic, and cold abuse. Again, part of this merchant mentality mixing with bad police methods and the drug war. Let's hear John Vance of Berkeley talk about this up there.
We're on a line with... First Amendment activist and the Telegraph Avenue Street Community Observer, John Vance. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
John, you've been up in Berkeley, lived there for how long now?
I've been here about 9 years now.
And what's happening up in Telegraph? Are things different than they were a decade ago? Are they the same? What's cooking up there?
Well, it changes off and on. We've got it, there's been an unusually larger number of people on the street, you know, street people specifically.
You actually work at a table that gives out literature and has bumper stickers and buttons. You're very politically active in numerous human rights causes, right?
Yeah, I run a First Amendment center on Telegraph near Haste.
And that actually is a kind of a key center of controversy for some conservative council members who are going to try to keep to win the majority in the election on November 3rd, right?
Yeah.
How likely is that to happen? I know you have a 5-4 majority that's liberal right now, right?
Yeah, I don't know. At this point now, I think it's going to remain so-called liberal.
Why so-called?
Well, I don't know. At this point in time, I think that the activity that's going up on Telegraph, I think even the progressives are being forced to participate a little bit in this police enforcement to get rid of some of the people on Telegraph, because they feel that they're crowding the avenue too much. And there's about 6 or 7 merchants that have threatened the city with moving off Telegraph if they don't do something about the excessive number of people up on Telegraph there.
Well, how about shooting every third homeless person?
They might work on that soon, I'm sure.
And you told us in the last interview that we had, which was actually very, very few days ago, three or four days ago, that police, because they can't use a sitting ban, and because apparently the city attorney has ruled it's unconstitutional for people like Andy Ross of Cody's Books to try to get people for trespass for leaning against his building, since they're on the public sidewalk when they do that, they have turned to setting up small drug busts and then giving disproportionate felony probation stay-away order stuff when they convict people of small marijuana buys.
Yeah, at this point in time, I think it's about maybe 70 people been arrested for just like that. What they're doing is they're sending up people to buy a small amount of marijuana, mostly about marijuana, and they make the sale, and then right afterwards you see the bicycle cops come up and arrest the person.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, they make the sale, you know, send an undercover cop up, whoever it might be, and they make the sale, and then a couple of bike cops come up and ask the person for their ID and talk to them for about maybe 5 seconds, put the handcuffs on and take, you know, police car pulls up and they tow them in the police car and take them away.
And you say you've been to court on a couple of these cases yourself or heard about what happened?
No, I haven't, but I know what's going on. I've been hearing from people. There's about seven people right now in Santa Rita that have already been, we're given like 30, they'll be in jail for 30 days and receive 3 years felony probation for sales, marijuana sales, which is very small.
Are we talking about, you know, like a pound of marijuana? What kind of, what?
We're talking about little baggies that are probably not even a gram.
You know, I thought that the California had decriminalized sale of marijuana to some extent back in 1975. I know Berkeley supposedly made it its lowest priority in the late 70s. What's going on up there?
They're using this to arrest these kids because they don't want them on Telegraph.
So it's a form of sort of, sounds like illegal use of the law to banish kids.
I would think so. It might be that, yes.
Or unconstitutional use of laws, maybe even illegal in the sense that the laws, I thought the laws prescribed small penalties, even, you know, just monetary, no jail penalties for possession of marijuana. I guess it's possession, not sales.
Well, yeah, but if you can set up sales, if you use the pool, if you want to really increase the penalty, all you're going to do is what they're doing is they're increasing the penalty by making, you know, by setting up sales.
Right. Now, certainly not everybody along Telegraph is selling marijuana. What's that?
What did you say?
I mean, what percentage of young people or the street community there are actively engaged in selling marijuana?
There were probably, I'd say there were maybe 30 young people that were hanging around in the general area that were probably doing that.
Well, is this going to solve their problem? Are you going to have a bunch of people up there who do other things like play hacky sack, hang out, panhandle, but they can't really touch with these drug busts?
I think they would probably make up some way of getting them, though.
Have they done that yet? I know they were using this unconstitutional interpretation of the... they were telling people there was a sitting ban when there wasn't. They were engaging in... they whipped out the mental health services and the green machine, the cleaning machine, and then the animal control to go after people's pets under the infamous Operation Avwatch program. But that is, hasn't that kind of subsided, or is that, you know, is that re-emerging? What's happening with that?
Now, Shirley Dean, the one that's the mayor here, she is... offered this 20-point plan. I don't have all the information about it right here, but I know one of the parts she wanted it where more than three dogs gathered. If there were more than three dogs gathered in one location, that the dogs would be arrested.
Would they read the dogs their rights and put on the cuffs, or would they have special paw cuffs?
Oh, it's just part of her, you know, part of a 20-point plan was that anywhere that three or more dogs are gathered, that the dogs would be arrested.
I see. And what do the dogs think of this?
I talked to a couple of the owners that they, you know, of the dogs, and they basically felt like that they would talk with the dogs, and the dogs have been discussing this and considering some kind of activity, maybe a poop in.
A poop in. Well, that could be serious. 20 points. What are the other points that you remember from Shirley Dean's 20-point plan?
Well, I think that I know that they don't want people congregating in large groups. I don't really have.
Wasn't there a thing called the First Amendment that talks about the right to assemble? I mean, is this martial law yet? What's going on here?
Well, yeah, but if you get the particular area in front of Amoeba Music has become pretty, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Sure.
They're pretty thick with people, and so there, I mean, there has been a congregation of people that's been in a number where people couldn't walk down the street sometimes, so there have been problems.
But wouldn't an obvious solution to this be to actually make other areas to congregate that are more attractive? I mean, that was like skateboarding parks and stuff like that.
Yeah, but then these people want to hang out on Telegraph, so it's real hard to make other places attractive when people want to hang out on Telegraph Avenue.
Well, how about us making up a park on Telegraph? Aren't there? I mean, couldn't that be done?
Not really. There's no prime look. There's no location for that. The place, the vacant lot that's available there. I mean, it's owned by a person who owns a record store who's they're trying to do some development there. So there really is no space there.
You're talking about the site of the former Berkeley Inn?
Yeah. But there really is absolutely, you know, limited space up there. There's only so much room for people to hang out on the sidewalk, too. This is realistic.
Well, you sound like you're, you yourself have some sympathy with the concerns of the merchants in the city on the issue of moving along young and street people.
I think that people, as a person, as an activist, I set up a stand out on Telegraph, and I also see, because a large number of these young people are sitting up next to my stand, that I feel that I've had to talk to them numerous times about blocking the sidewalk and asking them to control their dogs, which have attacked, you know, like a couple of times been run over by wheelchairs, a couple of dogs have attacked children.
How frequently does that happen, John?
There was one dog that attacked a child twice. And so it's not like it's infrequent there. It was pretty frequent that people were blocking the sidewalk and people had to walk out in the street to get by.
Uh-huh.
One specific location.
Is this like all the time or only during certain periods of the day or what?
It was pretty frequent. It's every day these people were gathering in front of Amoeba Music. So there was a problem there. It's not like there wasn't a problem by Amoeba Music. It wasn't that there wasn't a problem by Cody's bookstore as well because of a large number of people. So, I mean, I'm saying that we did have, there were some problems with people not being able to walk on the sidewalk sometimes.
Now, you're using the past tense. Does that mean you think the problem has dissipated?
Or dissipated now because everybody's in jail.
I see. So what do you think of their solution?
I don't like their solution. I don't think that we wanted that kind of solution. We prefer that they communicate with the kids, which I did, and I tried to talk to the kids to get them to not block the sidewalk. Generally, they were pretty cooperative. It's just that after you get a certain number of people that are hanging out there, see, this Amoeba Music seems to attract a larger number of people, just like Cody's, because it's the fourth block on Telegraph. There's four blocks. It's a commercial district of four blocks.
Right next to the University of California.
Yeah, and you've got Bancroft, then you've got Grant, then you've got Channing Way, and then you've got Hay Street, which is the fourth block where a lot of people hang out because there's room to hang out.
What about police misconduct? There was a lot of concern about police misconduct in the summer. What about now?
Well, it's police misconduct. I mean, what they're doing as far as the way that they're handling the problem of, you know, arresting everyone, you know, and setting up people for sales of marijuana in order to put people in jail to resolve the problem of overcrowdedness on Telegraph, I find it to be very unethical and unconstitutional.
Have people gone to the Citizens Police Review Board with complaints about this issue?
No, that seems to be always the interesting that nobody ever complains. I mean, but that's mainly because nobody feels that the Police Review Commission here basically can do anything. And I mean, they try, but it's Police Review Commission is managed by the city manager, and so just about anything that you do with the Police Review Commission is overruled by the city manager. So people
we have a similar problem with the city manager down here, who's been on board ever since the infamous Code Blue beatings back in the early '80s of homeless people, exposed vast ring of abusers of the poor in the police department. We have the same city manager, Dick Wilson, I think, who was around at least at the end of all that.
Wow, it's interesting because the name of the goon squad of the Oglala Sioux in South Dakota and Leonard Peltier was Dick Wilson.
Oh, really?
guy that ran the Goon Squad, yeah, that was going around.
I don't want to, you know, necessarily assume that those two dicks are the same dicks, but they seem...
They were just dicks.
Yeah, they were different dicks, I guess. But the point is, I'm wondering if we're hoping if we get a new progressive majority here in Santa Cruz that the city manager can be fired and that we can someone new can be appointed. Is there a possibility of that happening in these elections if your liberal candidate Jelinek wins?
Oh, yeah. I believe there is.
So the current city manager's name is...
I think it's Keene, Mike Keene.
Mike Keene. I remember how really poorly he performed when asked to respond to concerns by the Citizens Police Review Board this summer about harassment on Telegraph of young people. So you think that there may be a revamping of the whole city staff situation?
I'm not sure right now. It's hard to say with the election what's going on. Matter of fact, speaking of the election, I mean, that's why a lot of this is going on. I mean...
It's sort of like they're playing to the conservatives with this stuff?
Yeah, as far as all the arrests that are going on, I think that Shirley Dean, the mayor, is responding to the merchants threatening, because, I mean, Amoeba Music, Cody's Books, Half Price Books, Shakespeare's Books, Blake's, which is the bar up the street, they're all threatening to leave Telegraph if the city doesn't do something. And so they're basically making these threats because they know that it's election time, and that if they can make these threats, that if it gets everybody else stirred up on Telegraph.
Well, what do you think? Have they been losing business, or is this just making it a more tumultuous scene on Telegraph?
I look at Amoeba, and I see Amoeba doing very well. And I know Mark Weinstein, and he keeps telling me sales are down like 10% from last year. And I don't understand. I mean, I don't agree with him that it's because of these kids hanging out in front of his store, because I'm watching the place, you know, I'm watching his door, and the place people go in there, it's like the door is always open, and there's a reason generally for the doors always being open is because there's so many damn people going in and out that they don't want people's arms to wear out from opening and shutting the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indication to me that Amoeba's business is pretty good. Cody's business is down a lot, and I think a lot of the book business is down because you got Amazon.com, you got Barnes & Noble on the internet, and I think the internet's a big threat and a big competitive to the bookstores, so I think they're having trouble a lot because of that. I don't think it's because of people or kids hanging out on Telegraph.
What about, I know Shirley Dean has her 20-point plan, which I'd love to get a copy of, by the way, if you can get it my way, but
yeah.
What about I understand this, that some of the street community proposed a 5-point counter plan. And what was that, you know?
Well, that was just that the kids, you know, were trying to agree to, like, clean up their messes, not gather in large groups, not panhandle in large groups, and basically they were just agreeing to be more cooperative in, you know, on the street.
And has that been successful? I know this plan was presented last Tuesday at the city council meeting, right?
I think that's just, you know, that overall I'd say that I can't say that. I mean, with that group, maybe so, but I'm telling you, I'm seeing so many people that have been arrested and put in jail, which is probably maybe 70, maybe more, that you've got some different groups of kids out there. You've got the street punk kids, and then you've got this group that has been, that were hanging out with their, doing the marijuana over by Amoeba's, and and then you've got other types, other groups, subgroups of groups that are in the streets, so, I really, you know, I can't say how effective, you know, that plan that they have has been, because I don't think it's really something that's taken seriously by the city, and I don't think it's something that's taken seriously by the police or the merchants or whoever.
What about by the street community? Is it being taken seriously by them?
I think a lot of the street kids that just hang out in the street bumps, you know, the average street community, because they have always tried to be pretty cooperative, pretty get along pretty well in the streets. I don't think that's the problem. I think, like I said, I believe the main problem has been at Hastings Telegraph because of the large number of people in that area.
Now, in San Francisco, John, there has been an upsurge, according to the Coalition on Homelessness and even the San Francisco Chronicle and Examiner, of harassment of poor and homeless people around such places as a cable car turnaround, perhaps, I guess, not Hate Street, I've heard, but other places in the city where the police are now using obstructing the sidewalk laws. And that's also been happening in Santa Cruz. For the last week, particularly in the beginning of the week, people were being rousted for playing hacky sack in the traditional plaza-like area in downtown Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz under the obstructing the sidewalk law. Are the police in Berkeley using any other laws than the drug laws to go after poor people up on Telegraph?
No, they're just using, they're just buying marijuana. It seems to be the main thing, but setting up marijuana sales, probably drinking, drinking in public. But I don't know if they could do very much drinking in public, but usually if somebody was kind of loaded in public and they caught them with a container, they just give them a ticket. But I think now they may be taking them to jail. And like I said, it's because of the election.
That is another, apparently, program which is not simply election-oriented. Apparently, the San Francisco mayor's office and police have imported from Mayor Giuliani of New York a proposal, three sips and you're out.
Matter of fact, even that's part of the 20-point plan. Now that you mention it, Shirley Dean has mentioned in her plan the zero tolerance for drug law.
We're talking about drugs or alcohol? Or is alcohol being...
I think we're talking about drugs.
Because Giuliani and San Francisco are talking about alcohol, in essence jailing people and banning people for using alcohol. You know what the past practice has been, simply to throw people into the jail, since the programs are so full up nobody can use them, or very few can use the alcohol detox programs in terms of the number that need to use them,
yeah.
And then dump them back on the streets again without any charges or even court process. Now they're talking about actually, taking them to court, finding them guilty, and jailing them for long periods of time. Maybe they're giving them the opportunity of a mandatory detox program. I'm not quite sure, but I don't know how they can do that with detox programs and the condition they're in. Anything like that happening in Berkeley? Is that on Dean's 20-point Halloween list?
I haven't seen that one, but it probably is.
Wow. Well, John, I know you've been a writer, a really prolific writer this summer when you first began to put out a publication which you called the Berkeley Bark, and then because it got competition from a local poodle grooming magazine, you called the People's Bark, and I guess you haven't gotten an issue out on that because you had problems with your printer. But after that, you turned out at least a dozen very articulate flyers detailing, documenting, and protesting the police crackdown on the poor on Telegraph. Are you going to be continuing that particular, outreach to the public through that means?
I haven't done anything recently. I'm considering probably doing something though on this particular test, but I haven't done anything up.
Well, I expect to be first on your subscription list when you do.
Yeah, I want to talk to a couple of our attorneys and find out, let them know what's going on with the large number of arrests. But I'm afraid that with these arrests, that it's election time and that they're going to get away with.
Well, remember, election is almost here and it'll soon be gone. So the community will remain. What's happening with Free Radio Santa Cruz? Any word on that?
Free Radio Berkeley?
I'm sorry, Berkeley.
Right now, it's still sort of in court. I think there have been some broadcasts sporadically. I don't usually know I think maybe there have been broadcasts on Sunday evening sometimes.
How about medical marijuana? Do you have a cannabis club there?
I think most of the buyers clubs are closed. They closed the one in Oakland. The best one they have, I think, was closed in Oakland.
Any harassment of street vendors who are selling street spirit?
Oh, I haven't seen anything like that. I've seen people out.
Okay, and what about People's Park? That has been a traditional hot button. Is that they were trying to pass restrictive rules for People's Park? Is it sort of being left alone? What's cooking with that?
Much about that. I know that they always are trying to get rid of the free box, but I think more than anything now, they're probably making some arrest up around the free box during this election time.
Anything that we haven't covered that you think we should know about as far as Berkeley goes, people should be aware of that's happening in the next week or so? I know there was a national day of protest against police violence on October 22nd. I know Mumia Abu-Jamal's death sentence was renewed, his appeal overturned by the governor, I guess it was either yesterday or the day before.
Thursday.
Anything you want to say? Anything you want to say about those issues?
On November 7th, next Saturday at 1 o'clock, there's a big demonstration.
And you've been listening to Jackhammer John Vance, a street activist in Berkeley, California, an interview I had with him about a month and a half ago. We are kind of raking through the archives on this Bathrob Spears Broadside show today. Our phone number is 427-3772. Our call numbers are 96.3, and looks like we have 7 or 8 days before the FCC is going to come crashing through those doors, according to a letter written to us on December 17th, which claims we have 10 days before we have to cease and desist. Though it doesn't look like a court order, and it certainly wasn't a registered letter, so it could be another one of their endless bluffs, threats, and bullying tactics to get people off the air. Comment briefly about John Vance's interview. The liberals lost the election. I should say they just held even. They didn't win the mayorship in Berkeley. Jelinek, the liberal, lost to Shirley Dean, or Shirley Mean, as some people call her. Berkeley has since that interview passed the lying ban and a ban against having more than 3 dogs within 10 feet, which is an interesting thing. Bring your tape measures with you. I guess in Santa Cruz, the smart poor person always has a tape measure with her wherever she goes because of all the elaborate rules about where you can sit, where you can lean, where you can ask for spare change, where you can sell a street newspaper, how many feet you have to be from a storefront, and so forth. Another thing is that the Street Spirit has a very good article, this December issue of Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper, by John Vance, which updates what he told you in that interview. He tries to be very even-handed, and he talks to merchants. He talks about the interests of merchants and real problems that appear on the streets. But I think he has seen that the iron fist beneath the velvet glove has really come out on this. And if you read his latest article in Street Spirit, which you can purchase downtown on Pacific Avenue, or you can get by calling 423-HUFF, 423-4833, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We're going to try our cranky phone lines again. I think on the phone we have with us dead-on David Silva of the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. And let's see if we can get to the phone lines.
I think we're on the phone lines. Although we're probably going to be hearing a bit of KSCO. Are you there, David?
Yes, I'm here. Over again. My throat. I wish I could say it, but I can't help it.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to call the FCC and complain about KSCO because that is also coming over the air. Can you hear us on the radio? Are our voices louder? All right, we'll have to do this later then.
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody to visualize actually having won the election.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Boy, if our phone lines are working, then we get KSCO moving in to take over the phone lines. David Silva was going to say to everybody out there, visualize having won the elections in November. Visualize that a progressive slate actually beat the conservative Linda Steinau, old line Mike Rotkin guard. Visualize a slate that would actually repeal the sleeping ban. We don't have it yet, but just try to visualize it. David, of course, is a master of sarcasm, and he also was elected Progressive Man of the Year by his old cronies on the Santa Cruz Action Network. They actually feted him, wined him, and dined him, and he has become the Progressive Man of the Year. Actually, he probably is one of the few SCAN people that I would give that title to, although SCAN actually has gotten better in the last year. Although they can't seem to get it together to do too much to help repeal the sleeping ban, they are a hefty, healthy organization. One would think that they would be volunteering to fulfill what was one of their two major action planks in 1997 or 98, and it was again one of their top issues at the latest in terms of the priorities that SCAN has, repealing the sleeping ban, restoring rights to the homeless. But I guess they're leaving that all to David Silva. Good luck, David. You're tuned again to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we have a bit of news from the streets. Again, we're going to jump back to November to the Thanksgiving meal. One of the two good meals of the year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, is when homeless people get fed, just like they're expected to wait till February to sleep, so Catherine Byers can check with all the merchants and all the conservative groups to see if everything's okay and have her public process on basic human rights, then they'll be able to sleep. So it is also that, you know, if you may eat shit the rest of the year and get arrested for digging out of dumpsters, which, by the way, is becoming verboten in Santa Cruz. People like CSO Officer Malate, the fellow in the light blue on the mall, who's a police officer, but not quite, or he's sort of an unsworn police officer. He has been hassling people looking into dumpsters, and we're getting reports of people who've, let's say, dropped something in a trash can and tried to retrieve it and gotten told by the officer that's criminal behavior. Let's hear about some more criminal behavior back from Thanksgiving and the Vets Hall feed. With your van?
Yeah, I have. I was parked behind Costco for a long time, and they came about 3 o'clock in the morning and told me that I couldn't sleep there, basically.
Police officers, Parks and Rec, California Highway Patrol, who were they?
Police officers.
Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
You know the names of the cops?
Well, the first cop, it came twice. The first cop was pretty nice. He actually gave me 3 days. It doesn't run, and I had no way to move it. And then about an hour later, another cop came who was really a jerk. And I think his name's Rodriguez. He's a Mexican cop. But he was making jokes about me being homeless, and he was really nasty. And he gave me till midnight that night. And I ended up being able to move it, but I know they're going to end up towing it. So, but he was making really sick jokes about being homeless, and just really nasty.
When did all this happen?
About a week ago. About a week.
And your van is still there?
No, I moved it. It's on, I don't know if I should say that.
Is it another place?
Yeah, it's at another place, and I'm just basically waiting for them to tow it, you know. I don't have anywhere to put it.
Have you been hassled since then by police?
Well, they tagged my car, but I haven't actually seen any, so they don't know that I'm in there. But.
So how long have you been living in your vehicle?
About 3 months now.
Before that, you were...
Before that, I was still homeless, but, you know, I've been at different shelters and stuff. I stayed at the Sleep Tight, which they took away my kids also for being homeless.
Tell me about that, if you want.
Okay, well, I'm on methadone, for one. And basically, I was living at the Sleep Tight, and I lost my place to live there. I couldn't afford the rent, basically. And they took my kids because of being homeless.
How old were your kids?
They're 13, 11, and 5.
And you were kind of living together at the Sleep Tight?
Right. And then when I lost that, some people there had called CPS, and CPS got involved anyway, and basically I voluntarily, you know, placed them, but now I've got court action, you know, and it's basically because I'm homeless and I'm on methadone, so.
So you attempted to have your kids returned to you and they refused to bring them back?
Right.
When did you try that?
I've been trying the last 6 months to get them back.
And when did you give them up in the first case?
About 8 months ago.
So after 2 months later, you tried to get your kids back, and they said you couldn't have them back?
Right. Well, I have no place to take them, for one. But even now, they have court action now, because I had planned to get into New Life, and I could have my kids there. But that kind of fell apart, basically because of this guy, Ed, that works at New Life. Anyway, Ed kind of fell apart, and so now, basically, they're not going to get them back, at least for a while.
What do your kids think of this? Have you talked to them?
Yeah, I talked to my 5-year-old. I just saw her today, and she just wants to be with me. That's all she wants. You know, it's really sad. It's real hard. It's hard for me to function and try to go on because I don't have them with me. I don't see them enough. It's just hard.
You want to come to City Council tomorrow night and talk about all this? Think about it.
I'll think about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And now we return to a selection from Oral Communications on November 24th. The last city council meeting of the old council. Again, the opportunity that Byers had to do something about the sleeping van crisis in the winter, which she let pass as she did the next 4 opportunities to do something about the sleeping van repeal. This is on a slightly different subject, but one I think that will interest you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Leslie Scales. I came before you about a year ago speaking in memory of Happy, whose death is also the anniversary this week. And I'm very sorry to hear about Sean. And I guess since it's Scorpio, it's time to remember about death. And my son also died last year. He's a little boy. He drank creek water up in the woods. 2 sips of creek water killed him. And we found out what killed him. It was chromium, a chrome plating operation in Willis. Ramtow, it's called. And they made nuclear submarines, offshore drilling and towing equipment, and military gun barrels. So when you said that, Dr. Strangelove was not appropriate, well, it is. My life is now a Dr. Strangelove movie. And so I hope we won't be shooting first and asking questions later anymore. And also the reason I came to tell you this is that the people who are responsible for cleaning up this site teach a course at UCSC in waste stream management, Henshaw Associates. These people should not be teaching a course. They should not be cleaning up sites. They are not doing their job. We have memos from the water board everywhere. They've been doing a seat of the pants operation. Okay, if you're interested in this, there it is. They say they're going to phase out the environmental studies program, or whatever they call it, management, environmental health and safety management. But when you don't sign up, you can still sign up. They will be offering this course again in March, according to most current information. And notice, you know, there's corporate training here on the back of the UCSC catalog. So I'll be up there letting people know what's going on here in this town, too. And I just like to say one more thing about your legacy that you're leaving. That Gateway development out there, those lights are terrible. It looks like an alien landing pad. So I hope when they do land, that those people who don't need clean air and water will get on and go back to their planet. Meanwhile, the whole thing is very feng shui. So, thank you.
Names on this tape?
Ian to
Dennis Ream.
Dennis, you have got a Cappy ticket in September, and you challenged it in Judge Mulligan's, I should say, Commissioner, no, referee Mulligan's court, not yet knowing that Mulligan is a man you have to disqualify because he's very unfair and prejudiced. But you probably got a hint of that by something he said at the arraignment, and what was that?
Judge Mulligan offered me when I walked up in front of him, before he said anything, he says, "I'm willing to lower your fine to $100 if you'll plead guilty." And I said, "No, I'm not going to plead guilty." I said, "Not guilty." And two other people also went up before me who had camping tickets. One person accepted the $100 fine, and the other person said, "No, I'm not guilty," and he walked away.
So, in essence, the judge was trying to bribe you into an early settlement.
It seems that way, just to get another guilty person on the camping.
Did he indicate that there would be a harsher sentence if you didn't plead guilty?
No, but he didn't directly say it, but he said the camping ticket was $160 if I had to come to court and was found guilty.
Then that was an indication that it's a harsher sentence. If he now attempts to punish you for going to trial, that might be an appealable issue if you want to spend, of course, years in court.
Yeah, well, I'll spend any time I need to because I'm not guilty, and so I'll get as many continuances as I need to take
Mulligan
care of.
Mulligan is guilty, I'm afraid.
Mulligan, yes.
Council members, my name is Robert Norris. I work with Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. The weather outside is wretched, and tonight there are 28 emergency spaces for 28 11 people out of more than 750 homeless in this town. This is an old litany. Still, this council bears the blame for the situation and for the fact that even the punishment of cold and rain in the dark, even the threat of violence and death from homeless-hating loonies like the San Francisco slasher isn't penalty enough for the Santa Cruz homeless. They face tickets, which come in daily to the courts for $160 each. To do community service costs $50. $50 on top of that. So the poor accumulate warrants. Go down and check out the courts. Seems like I made this piece before. Yeah, every night people sleep outside because of your failure to act. Now, you heard an appeal that the sleeping ban be introduced on the November 24th council. This is really is an appeal both to you and to the new council to act, because theoretically, I guess, the new council could try to put it on the agenda after they're seated. I know it's never been done before, but they could presumably do a first reading, so they could try. If this doesn't get put on the agenda, many of us feel the only alternative we have is to go down to Pacific Avenue and demonstrate to the city But there are lots of people outside. We're going to get tickets at night. We might as well get them during the day downtown so the shoppers and the entire community can see what's going on. That will be November 25th if no action happens on November 24th. This is because if you look outside, you'll notice it's raining and cold, and there are no places for people to sleep. And there are police officers with ticket books outside. And there are also new incoming council members who are perhaps not as strong of heart as they might be. I'm hoping that one member of this council who sits on this council, who's been sitting on this council for a decade, will take this matter, take the bull by the horns, go for the throat on this issue, and take some action to deal with something. They shouldn't have to wait 2 weeks and take 2 weeks of tickets. But I think on November 25th, that will be the day when people begin to say, no more. Thank you. One last thing, I'm almost finished, I've got 10 or 2 more seconds. There will be a demonstration for Happy John Dine on the 12th. That's the anniversary of a shooting by Officer Connor Carey. I encourage you to come to the town clock, anyone watching, that'll be at 5:30, there'll be food. And then from 6 to 8 at Happy Corner, as we call it, so fell in front, where he was gunned down. There will be a speak out and on campus at Crespi Town Hall. There will be a police violence seminar for folks to come to. This matter was never independently investigated by this council or by its board. It was never reviewed in any significant way, nor were public hearings held on this issue. It is a shame and a stigma hanging over this body, the entire body. Every single council member bears responsibility for this shame. And I encourage you to come and expiate your shame and deal with the issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Becky Johnson. Hey, Becky, just on a survey, it's about 5.
Cat tells us that...
Becky, just on a survey, it's about 5:05 out here at the Homeless Resources Center.
Yeah, it's December 7th tonight, and I just talked to Dale, who's one of the fine chefs here, and he said that they served 174 people tonight at the free meal, and he said that it was an unusually large number. So I asked him what would be a typical number this time of year, and he says about 100 people. So I asked him why he thought that the number was so much higher than